Our study of Galatians resumes with chapter 1, verse 15, and we welcome you to our study of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. This is a verse-by-verse study, and if you have questions about the study, please write to the Radio Bible Course. We'll give the address at the end of today's broadcast. In verse 15, Paul writes, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and had called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus." Here Paul denies receiving teaching from men. He is supporting his claim expressed in verse 12 that his gospel had a divine origin. For those of you who were not with us earlier, let me read that verse. "For I did not receive it from man," talking about the gospel that he preached, "nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Here, he wants everyone to understand that he did not get what he is preaching from somebody else. He's not copying the apostles. There was no one who sat down with him and said, "Now here's the way it is, Paul. This is what the Christian faith is all about." No, he said, "I got it directly from Jesus Christ." And where is Jesus Christ? In heaven. Where? At the right hand of God, the most honored place. And Jesus Christ has revealed to this man, a persecutor of believers in Christ, so that he could be changed and become a preacher for Christ, a real servant. Now, Paul got that message from Christ. Now, either he did or he didn't. And if he didn't, he is a great deceiver, because then he is telling us something that we dare not believe. But Peter believed, and so did the other apostles believe, that Paul had received this revelation from Jesus Christ. And if it was good enough for them, it's good enough for me. They were apostles of Jesus Christ, and they were guided by the Spirit. And the Spirit revealed truth to them, so they would have known if Paul were a false prophet or not. Now notice, first, how Paul says he got his call. He believed that before he was born, God had a plan to bring forth this zealous Jew to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not call Paul because he was religious. Paul writes, "He called me," how? "By his grace." Oh, I love that. That means he was undeserving. He did nothing worthy of earning that call. The next thing that God did was to reveal, not Jesus, but his Son, it says. Now, I point that out because that's a little different. Jesus is the name of the man. The Son is the Holy Son of God who has lived from eternity. You see, Paul knew about Jesus, and he was persecuting and jailing followers of Jesus. He knew Jesus as a cult leader. But at his conversion, he knew him as the Son of God. That's important. God set this man, Paul, apart before his birth. He marked him for a special service. God's purpose was to consecrate this man for an apostleship. And like a prophet, he would be given God's word. God gave his word because he's gracious and he's just. He wanted us to know about him and about this salvation which Jesus Christ brought. We should expect that there is a revelation of God that is true. Men can't be trying to find God by themselves. Almost all the religions of the world are the result of men trying to find God and figuring out what they think God wants. Well, God has told us what he wants. And when it comes to the gospel, this is what he wants. The work of God is that you believe in the one God has sent. Now, the prophets of old were very much like Paul in that they received God's word. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Well, now we return to Galatians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, where Paul talks about the limited contact that he had with the apostles. He writes, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie." When a man adds that final statement, you know that there are people who are doubting him, and Paul wants to affirm with as much force as he can that he is telling the truth, he's giving it just the way it is. Now he narrates his whereabouts during that time to show that the pillars of the church, Peter and James, did not give him his gospel. And again, he writes this to defend the claim that Christ gave him his gospel. By the way, he said he went to Arabia in verse 17 and again returned to Damascus after that. Why he went into Arabia isn't told us. Perhaps God led him there. How long was he in Arabia? Well, most people say he received his revelation in the desert in Arabia during a 3-year period, but that's not what the text says. Verse 17 says, "But I went away into Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. You see, he was in Arabia and Damascus for 3 years. Then he finally came down and had 15 days with Cephas, who is Peter. He also makes a point of pointing out that he didn't see any of the other apostles except James, and he calls him the Lord's brother. Did the Lord Jesus Christ, have a brother? Well, he did. He had more than one brother. James was one of those. And he also had sisters. Now, how do we know that? It tells us in Mark chapter 6. It tells us in verse 1, "He went away from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom given to him? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?'" From that passage, we learn that Mary had at least 7 children. Jesus, 4 brothers named here, and sisters. But we don't know how many sisters. Now, for many people, this is very disturbing, because they think that if Mary had more children than Jesus, then that corrupted her. How does having children corrupt anybody? The marriage bed is blessed by God. It's not defiled. There is only one reason, I think, why people want to protect Mary from some kind of defilement by having more children, and that's so they can worship her. Well, Mary was never to be an object of worship. The great commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, which means you don't love anybody else compared to God, nor do you worship anyone else except God. Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. She had not known a man, but after that she did, and she had children just like all women have children. Now, these are not the only places in the New Testament where we read about brothers and sisters of Jesus. Luke gives a hint of it when he tells about how Mary brought forth her firstborn son. That's in regard to the nativity. He didn't say her only born. And he wrote this many years afterward, looking back into history, and he said she brought forth her firstborn. Well, you talk about the firstborn when you know there are others who have been born of that person also. So there's still another evidence that Christ was one in a family of many. Now we come to verse 21 of Galatians 1, and Paul writes, "Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still not known by sight to the churches of Christ in Judea. They only heard it said, 'He who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy,' and they glorified God because of me." This final statement by Paul in this chapter explains that he was also without church contact. First of all, he wants to prove that he didn't get his gospel from the apostles or from any other man, and now he is showing that since he had no church contact, he couldn't have received his gospel from them. They had heard about this man, but they had not seen him. Now, where is Syria and where is Cilicia that Paul talks about where he went? Well, Syria is to the north of Israel, and Cilicia is over in the present country of Turkey. Why did Paul go to Cilicia? Well, that's where his hometown was. Tarsus was in Cilicia. He went back there after his conversion also. And we read about that in the book of Acts because Barnabas went there to Tarsus and found Paul, brought him to Antioch in Syria, to the church that had been formed by some laymen who had been scattered by the persecution in Jerusalem. They went up there and they preached to some of the Greeks and they believed, and a church was formed. And the wonderful thing about that church is that it is the church that sent out the first missionaries on record. Acts 13 talks about that. It was the church at Antioch, started by laymen who didn't know any better. They went out and talked to everybody. You see, the apostles and others up to that point were talking only to Jews. And these men, after they were scattered in Acts chapter 8, went everywhere preaching the word. And think of it, they weren't licensed to do that. They weren't ordained to do that. But thank God they went, and the gospel began to spread because people went without the authority that we think people have to have today. Thank God for laymen who talk to other men and women about Jesus Christ and help fulfill what Jesus Christ commanded the apostles to do, to go to all nations and make disciples. And you'll be able to do that also by continuing to listen to these Bible teaching programs. You'll learn what the content of the gospel is and how God saves men. One way that we can help is by getting you started on memorizing the most significant passages in the Bible that every Christian should know. We call it our Bible Teaching Memory Program. Write today for information about our Bible Teaching Memory Program. If you've been helped by these Bible teachings, I know you will delight in hearing the course I taught on the LSU campus for many years. Understanding the New Testament has been recorded on 10 tapes. It contains 15 hours of the most significant topics in the Bible. No book contains all this helpful and surprising material. Our brochure entitled Teaching Tapes will tell you how to order Understanding the New Testament. Write for a copy. Ask for our Teaching Tapes list. Until next week, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.